Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them!
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some of y'all never been down south too much, so I'm going to tell you a little story so you'll understand what I'm talking about. So's yo? Is that how we talk down here?
Yikes. Close.
This is... I'm trying to assimilate. This is Wretched Radio. If you live above the Mason-Dixon line and you've been toying with the idea of visiting us in the land of Dixie, I'm telling you, I got one more reason for you to come on down. Huntsville, Alabama. Wow. If a city, if you had to choose one town that you could actually eat a meal off of, I'm just telling you, Huntsville, Alabama. Pristine. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's a lovely sized town. My favorite sized town, about 200,000. It's 228,000 in Huntsville, Alabama, which makes it now the number one largest, I think that's redundant, largest city in the state of Alabama. Huntsville, because of all of its space stuff. I don't want to get all, you know, technical with the numbers and math and science terminology, because that would just make me look really smart. But I'm telling you, that town, whoever is running that place, they got it going on. And it seems to me there's even lessons we can learn from a well-run city. When the town is esteemed, people take care of it better. When more people take care of it better, even more people take care of it better. Even in the parts of town that you could drive through where you could tell on the socioeconomic ladder, it wasn't like the rich part of town. No graffiti. So in other words, it wasn't like Europe. No graffiti. The lawns, I did not see an unmowed lawn. I'm not kidding. We drove around a bit. I did not see a messy, dumpy part of town. Now, maybe it's got them. But I'm just telling you, I didn't see them. And there's a district called Trickenham. That's the name of one of its founders. I think it was a water spring that put Huntsville on the map. It is an old houses go back to the 1800s. So I guess Victorian era. Although I think the Summit Avenue, the Grand Hill District in St. Paul is more Victorian in flavor. I have never seen a historic district where every single home was meticulous. I saw one flaw. We walked it. I saw one flaw. It was in front of the house of the second governor of the state of Alabama. It was a wrought iron fence. And one of the slats was bowed a little bit. That's it. What I saw, it was loverly. So if you dig things like botanical gardens, walking around historic district and science stuff, you'll love to visit Huntsville, Alabama, which is what I learned is the way to pronounce it. So you've got like Greenville. I think it's interesting. Greenville has become so busy. Huntsville, it was so odd. We were there on Friday night. And it was like there were people walking around, but it felt more like Mayberry RFD than it did New York City. We were so pleasantly surprised. So to Alabama specifically, whoever is running Huntsville, I say salute. Jimmy, you ever been to Huntsville?
Years ago, yes.
I was really knocked out, telling you. With a lack of graffiti alone, I don't know when the last time was. You've seen a movie that was filmed in France or Italy. All of their glorious buildings, all graffitied, just letting people spray paint their ideas. Apparently, it's some sort of freedom of speech nonsense they've got going on where they're destroying their own culture. Huntsville, I'm telling you, they're holding on to it. And it was a thing of beauty, and we rushed to get back home on Saturday. Why? Because last time I missed church at our church, I felt out of sorts. It's not like I was devastated for the week, but not being in our own home church, I was like, why do I feel off this week? What did I not do or did I do this week that made me feel different? And the answer was, we weren't in our own church. So we came back. We could have spent another lovely day in Huntsville seeing more stuff, all the sciencey, spacey sort of stuff. But we rushed home and wow, am I glad we did, because Jason preached. Jimmy, I'm telling you. Psalm 88. It is a psalm that if you just read it casually, it'll just plain bum you out. Because when you read all of the psalms of lament, there's like 60 some psalms of lament where the psalmist is expressing he's bummed, which, as we were reminded on Sunday morning, is indeed an affirmation that God deals with our emotional issues rather exhaustively in the Bible, that he doesn't shy away from revealing to us that theological giants, the greats of the faith, like David, lamented, had issues and struggles. They actually did have struggles. It's not like the social media struggles that we think that we have. These are actual struggles, and they had actual challenges and familial issues and cultural and economic issues. And the Bible is happy to reveal it, and it should encourage us. God allows that stuff to be in there so that we can find a real source to guide our emotional responses to the challenges that we have, whether it's inside of our doors or outside in the world. The Bible hits it head on, and it always shows hope. It resolves the lament with, but I will think about these things. That's key. The thinking part. If you're feeling pressure, you got to have knowledge get in there. And so the Psalms inevitably will say something like, I'm super bummed out, but, and then it offers a theological truth, which changes our hearts. But, okay, consider Psalm 73, a Psalm of Asaph. I looked around and I saw these rich people like in the Trickenham district in Huntsville, Alabama. And I thought, man, they got it so sweet. It is, by the way, even that's a bit of a deception. When we were walking through Trickenham, Freo, we're not going back to Alabama again. We're walking through Trickenham and there was a guy and he was weeding his flowers that he had planted in the front of his house. Really just sweet home. And it was the owner. And we started chatting with him and he was talking about how much work and how much money it is to keep the place looking adorable, because that was the word Mrs. Friel used to describe the home. It takes, and out there he is outside in Alabama sun, and it was a little bit moist, sweating up a storm to make sure the property looked right. Now, I appreciate that, but it reminds us that when you see something that looks great on the outside, it ain't all just, oh, wouldn't that be amazing to be sitting on that porch sipping some lemonade with a fan blowing on you in the middle of Trickenham in Huntsville, Alabama. It's never what it seems. There's more behind it. It takes a lot of work, and there's still problems aplenty inside of the home. Don't be deceived by social media. It is perpetually lying to you. That really great meal that they had, oh, they're dancing at a party. Look at the wedding decorations. Let me tell you about the amount of sin that went into all of it. It's never quite as amazing as an image appears. And the Bible helps us to get that. Psalm 73, the dude is looking at the wealthy and he's going, oh, they don't have any issues. But then, and he turns a theological corner. I went into the house of the Lord and he thought about God and he thought about the end of the wicked rich people. Now there's righteous rich people, but he's talking about these people They don't care about God. They just care about themselves and they profit. And I realized their end. And suddenly I didn't feel so bad. That's the pattern, except for Psalm 88. It's nothing but a great big bummer. It's just, I'm underwater here. I'm going down. I've lost. I have no friends. I am totally in misery. The end. Sunday, Jason Allen, he directs our Fortis Fellows here, filled the pulpit at Alpharetta Bible Church, because I don't know if I told you, but I was in Huntsville, Alabama, for a really nice place. And he brought out the hope that is even buried inside of that thorough psalm of lament. Then what did he do? He pointed it toward the one who really did feel all of those things more than we do, Jesus Christ. That psalm could have been recited by Jesus because of what he endured on our behalf so that we can have hope, so that we don't have to feel abandoned, so that we never feel lonely or afraid. Jesus takes care of our Psalm 88 laments. That is what even an Old Testament sermon should be about. Jesus Christ. Question, what was your sermon about on Sunday? This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? That's why we launched a brand new initiative, Truth Unhindered. It's going on right now. Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, something that will revolutionize how pastors access seminary-level teaching, how families discover biblical counseling, how seekers find answers. But here's the thing. Great visions, well, they require great partners, and that's why we need you now more than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant, up to $250,000. That's not just giving, it's multiplication. Your gift today becomes transformation tomorrow. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists. only revels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, did I mention I was just in Huntsville, Alabama? This is Wretched Radio. I'm taken by the place. I'm telling you, Greenville, South Carolina, groovy town. There was some leadership there. There was some vision there. Hey, the bones are still good. Let's make this a place that is vibrant and vital. And now it is in Greenville. Like, really vibrant. Like, lots of people. Huntsville could even be cleaner if that is possible. Different vibe than Greenville. It's just, you know, it's got a different texture to it. But it is so well maintained. And everything appeared to be orderly and no graffiti and no broken windows, which I suspect is because they have a broken windows sort of mentality to crime. The whole place, as best I could tell, and we did a fair amount of driving around, it was nice. It was even cleaner, I think, than Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was very pristine. So if you're looking for great places to visit, Chattanooga's awesome. You have Greenville, terrific. But now we got Huntsville on our list. And salute to the people who are actually enforcing laws. Everybody benefits from it. And then we returned home to be treated to a banquet, a sermon based on Psalm 88 that was Thankfully, Jason didn't try to tackle the whole thing because I know a guy who preached on Sunday, all of Genesis 3. Can you imagine preaching? Oh, wait a second. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did he do it?
Did you
read the whole chapter?
Yep, sure did. In 45 minutes.
Yeah, it took you 45 minutes to read the chapter, but what about the sermon?
Yeah. No, the whole thing, 45 minutes.
Okay. Did you read it well? I suspect you did.
Did I read it well?
You're a pro.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times we read the Bible. I've seen, you know, public reading of it. And we don't read it well.
We don't read it with emphasis.
I agree.
Yeah, no. I did that. I didn't do this time since I was preaching the entire chapter. I didn't do a reading beforehand. That's usually the first thing I do.
Oh, you just worked your way through
it. I worked my way through it, yeah.
Sure, that's valid.
Right.
You can do that. It depends on the format of your sermon. It depends on if you're going to teach through the text or if the text has offered, here are 3 points about this text.
Right.
Which I'm actually, I haven't done a 3-point sermon yet. I'm actually debating it.
Oh, you are?
For next Sunday. Uh-huh. Yeah. What I came up with, it's not very Southern Baptist-y. By the way, have they started their convention yet?
This Wednesday?
They do all the pre-stuff.
Right, yeah. I think the official thing starts Wednesday.
We'll be tracking it. And this particular non-alliterated 3-point was, I haven't got it quite worked out yet. But basically is they did, we do, he doesn't. And you say, what are we talking about? What's the subject of this verb here of they did, we do, and he doesn't? Forsake. It's the beginning of the passion. Jesus has left the upper room. He has moved to Gethsemane. He is in the place of the oil press and he is getting squeezed. And he informs Peter and everybody, y'all going to abandon me? You're all going to forsake me. And we saw that happen. All of them ran away. Now, John and Peter at least had the courage. We don't know the others, but John and Peter, they were willing to like check out what's happening here at the trial of Jesus. John, who knew apparently had kind of an in. So his inside contact got him into the courtyard. Peter was outside of it, warming himself by the fire. Even so, they had all scattered. They'd all forsaken Jesus. They did that. But don't be deceived. We do it. But what's the moral to this story? Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't ever turn his back on us. He doesn't ever forsake us. He doesn't ever say, yeah, I'll be with you. And then he drops the ball. They did. We do. He doesn't.
That's good.
So that's my 3-pointer.
That's good.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still going to work my way through the text.
You'll do that.
I just can't do it.
You'll do that every week from now on.
I just need to work on alliterating that. All right. So what was the big point of your Genesis 3 exposition?
So I focused more not on the curse itself or not on the sin itself, but God's patience.
Mm.
God didn't immediately, after they sinned, he didn't immediately storm into the garden and cast judgment at that point. He came walking into the garden in the cool of the day, asking questions, and he gave space for repentance and confession. Of course, they didn't take that. And of course, the judgment comes. They start blame shifting and blaming each other. But I focused more on the patience because God's patience has a purpose.
And it feeds us to know that.
Right, yeah.
That he's patient with us. It reminds me, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we were in Ephesians 4 in Bible study, and one of our elders, Mike, was talking about some of the greats of the faith. That we aren't supposed to walk like we used to walk. That's what Ephesians 4 is about. Don't walk. You used to be a pagan. don't revert back to those ways. You're a new creation. Walk in that reality. And he cited some of the greats who failed in that regard. Consider Abraham. I mean, he had some like bad stuff. And he was not marked by that. And God did not esteem him as a faithless follower who failed him. He just doesn't see him that way. David, same thing. That these men, even though they biffed it big time, and we might be inclined to besmirch them and say, oh. I mean, honestly, if the Bible didn't tell you that David was a man after God's own heart, how would you write his epitaph? What would you say about it? You'd go, dude had it all and blew it. Probably. And he did. But that's just simply not how God presents him. He's still a man after his own heart. And that is the patience and the forbearance of God and the expansive nature of his salvific grace in Jesus Christ. We don't want to give license to sin, certainly. But we have to remember, Christians biff it. And they fall. They don't dive and swim. They stumble and fall. But even so, and even the Puritans recognize this, it could be a big nasty. And yet, there's church discipline to restore them into fellowship, to bring them back into the body of Christ, even if they've strayed. That is just a reminder. That's really baked into Matthew 18, isn't it? That you've got somebody, you've got a brother, professing brother, who's living in sin. You approach them, and if you win them back, they just come back into fellowship. It doesn't mean that now they got saved. They were saved. They were straying. They were a wandering sheep, and you go rescue that straying lamb, and they're restored to fellowship, even though they had been sinning in that way, because God's grace and his patience is staggering. All right, so Jimmy, I got a question for you now.
Okay.
You're in Genesis chapter 3, which is weird because I don't know who preaches from the Old Testament. Unhitched that a long time ago. How did you get to Jesus?
Well, Jesus is a part of the entire story.
All right, well, how did you get there?
How did I get there? It wasn't a leap.
Wait a second, you didn't preach the gospel?
I did preach the gospel.
Right, how'd you get there?
But I didn't have to leap there. He was ingrained in the whole thing.
Well, sure, he's Genesis 3:15.
Right, so, I mean, it's just a launching point from 3:15 on. Yeah, for sure.
Well, even the story sets up Jesus,
yeah.
Because that is the purpose of the planet, Jesus. Like, you want to answer the big teleological question, what's the point, Jesus? Oh, that's just a Sunday school answer. No, it's not. That's the Bible answer. Everything that you and I are doing, seeing, experiencing, tasting, thinking, all revolves around Jesus.
Yeah.
All of it. And not to become some sort of mystical, mindful Christian, but that is reality. And for the myriads of people, can you have myriads? The myriad of people, the lots of people, that want their faith connected to their entirety of their life, there's your key right there. Your faith already is. You're just not thinking about it. That's all. You're just not thinking about it. Received a follow-up. Jimmy, I don't know if you remember from last week, there was a, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, there was a question about decision-making. How do you make a decision? Well, the individual sent another email to me and said, hey, well, okay, cool what you said, but what about just like, do I pick up this paper? Do I drink this? Do I pick a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero? You shouldn't pick either. But how do I like, just do I need to like go through that 5-step process with everything? And the answer is no. Because the more you utilize the means of growth, reading your Bible, sermons, praying, Lord's table, fellowship, witnessing, baptisms, it's all that good stuff in, and then that's what comes out. And it just becomes very holistic and very natural. When you bake yourself in Bible, when you are aware constantly that everything about this planet is about Jesus, that will inform everything. This is Wretched Radio.